What happens when you hear your favorite song? More than you might imagine. Your brain lights up like a fireworks display, with nearly every region engaging in a complex dance of neural activity. The auditory cortex processes pitch and timbre, your cerebellum tracks rhythm, and your frontal lobes predict what comes next. This widespread activation explains why music affects us so profoundly. It's literally engaging your entire brain simultaneously. Music isn't just sound. It's organized sound that creates meaning through relationships between elements like pitch, rhythm, and timbre. As Miles Davis famously noted, music isn't just about the notes you play, it's about the spaces between them. This parallels Picasso's approach to visual art, where negative space carries as much meaning as painted areas. In music, silence and anticipation create tension and release, engaging our brains in a constant dance of expectation and surprise. Ever wonder how you instantly recognize a violin versus a piano playing the same note? The answer lies in timbre, the unique tonal quality that distinguishes one sound source from another. When an instrument plays a note, it doesn't produce just one frequency, but a complex mixture of the fundamental tone plus higher frequencies called overtones. These overtones occur in specific mathematical relationships to the fundamental, usually as integer multiples, and their specific blend creates each instrument's characteristic sound. Our brains are remarkably adept at processing these harmonic relationships. Even if the fundamental frequency is missing, our auditory system will fill in the gap based on the pattern of overtones, demonstrating how actively our brains construct sound rather than passively receiving it. Fascinatingly, much of an instrument's identity resides in how the sound begins rather than how it sustains. Remove the initial attack phase, those first few milliseconds, and many instruments become nearly indistinguishable from one another. The universal human response to rhythm, like unconsciously tapping your foot to a beat, likely has evolutionary roots in social bonding. Rhythm, meter, and tempo work together to create music's temporal structure. While rhythm establishes patterns of note durations, meter organizes beats into groups, and tempo sets the speed. These elements create groove, not through mechanical precision, but through subtle timing variations that convey human expression. This explains why computer-generated rhythms often feel emotionally flat compared to human performances. Our brains process music by constructing mental representations and extracting key features that remain constant across different versions of a song. This is why we can recognize Yesterday, whether performed by the Beatles, a string quartet, or hummed by a friend. Musical memory operates through multiple systems. Episodic memory links music to personal experiences, semantic memory stores facts about music, and procedural memory allows musicians to play instruments instinctively. Music moves us emotionally through composers' manipulation of our expectations. Our brains form predictions about what comes next based on previous musical experiences, and the fulfillment, delay, or violation of these expectations triggers emotional responses. When you hear a familiar song's opening chords, you recognize it because your brain has stored that sequence as a pattern, creating pleasure and anticipation. Composers exploit this predictive processing through techniques like deceptive cadences, where expected resolutions take unexpected turns, creating tension and release that mirror everyday emotional experiences. Different musical traditions establish different sets of expectations, which is why unfamiliar styles can be challenging to appreciate. We organize music into genres through what philosopher Ludwig Wittgenstein called family resemblance, overlapping features without any single defining characteristic, explaining why genre boundaries often remain fluid and debatable. Musical ability emerges from a combination of practice, talent, and emotional connection. While the 10,000-hour rule has merit, quality of practice matters more than quantity. Deliberate practice with immediate feedback proves more effective than simple repetition. Emotional engagement with music enhances learning by triggering neurochemical changes that improve memory and neuroplasticity. Multiple genetic factors influence various aspects of musicality, from auditory processing to motor skills. The hallmark of exceptional musicians lies in their ability to communicate emotion and move listeners, though formal education often emphasizes technical proficiency over emotional expression. Musical preferences begin forming before birth, with newborns showing recognition of music heard in the womb. Children initially prefer simple, predictable melodies, gradually developing appreciation for complexity as they mature. Adolescence is particularly crucial for musical taste formation, as music becomes a tool for identity development and social connection. The music we connect with during these formative years often maintains special emotional significance throughout life. The relationship between complexity and enjoyment follows an inverted U function. Music that's too simple becomes boring through excessive predictability, while music that's too complex overwhelms our processing capacity. The sweet spot lies in between. Music complex enough to be interesting, but not so complex that we can't find patterns or meaning. Our personal complexity window expands with musical experience and education, explaining why jazz aficionados might appreciate complex improvisations that sound like random noise to untrained listeners. Why do humans make music at all? Steven Pinker famously described music as auditory cheesecake, a pleasant but evolutionarily useless byproduct of cognitive adaptations that evolved for other purposes. Others argue that music evolved through sexual selection, functioning as a fitness indicator demonstrating cognitive capacity and creativity to potential mates. A compelling alternative proposes that music evolved primarily for social bonding. Coordinated musical activities, singing, dancing, drumming together, create synchronized experiences that promote group cohesion and cooperation. This synchronization releases endorphins and other neurochemicals that reinforce social bonds, potentially providing survival advantages to early human groups. Evidence from neurodevelopmental conditions supports the social bonding hypothesis. Individuals with Williams syndrome show hypersociability and heightened emotional responses to music despite cognitive impairments, while those on the autism spectrum often show reduced social motivation alongside diminished emotional responses to music. Music may also have facilitated cognitive development more broadly. Learning musical patterns exercises the brain's capacity for complex rule extraction, potentially supporting language acquisition and abstract thinking. The universal presence of music across human cultures, despite tremendous diversity in specific forms, suggests music addresses fundamental human needs, whether facilitating group cohesion, attracting mates, regulating emotions, or supporting cognitive development. The social dimension of music explains why shared musical experiences, from concerts to religious ceremonies, create powerful feelings of connection. When we move together in synchrony or sing in harmony, we experience what sociologists call collective effervescence, a heightened sense of belonging and shared emotion. This social bonding function may be music's most important evolutionary contribution to human survival and flourishing. In today's increasingly isolated world, music's capacity to bring people together and create meaningful shared experiences may be more important than ever.